In our sponsored interview with 91, my colleague Rick Fennikirk caught up with John Stopford. He's a manager at the Global Multi-Asset Income Fund at 91.
We continue with our discussion on the mechanics and structure of offshore investments. Not all investors have the same objectives when it comes to foreign investments. Some investors want to hedge against the rand. Others are looking for aggressive growth. And then there's an interesting segment which looks to be more conservative and focused on capital preservation. This could be an investor who wants to secure long-term financial security for his or her family. John Stopford, he is the head of Global Multi-Asset Income at 91, is on the line. He's speaking to us from London. John, thank you so much for joining me. It is a bit of a problem. It is one thing to decide to invest offshore, but it's not always easy to choose where and in what asset class or product to invest.
No, I think that's absolutely right. And you know, our view is we live in a very uncertain world, and the uncertainty to some extent is reflected in both how economies are behaving, but also how policymakers are behaving. And so, you know, we think it's a recipe for significant market volatility, periods of market strength, and then periods of significant market weakness, which is difficult for a lot of investors to manage. And then the safe alternatives of, you know, investing in cash, for example, one of the sort of policy prescriptions that central banks have adopted is essentially zero nominal interest rates forever, and or at least for the foreseeable future. And so cash in nominal terms is okay, but in real terms, it's a wasting asset. And so we think it's a big challenge in terms of how investors might deal with some of those issues.
So you have equities on the one side that seems to be very risky and potentially very volatile. And on the other side of the spectrum, you have cash, which will yield very, very little. So obviously, you would like to have something in between. What are the options in between?
So for us, all about how you choose and then blend different securities. And we think you should take the widest possible perspective. So the approach we take is multi-asset, it's global. So it's saying, you know, let's look amongst all of the investment opportunities out there and try and find ones that give us a balance of relatively predictable return, but also can be blended together to give relatively low volatility or risk. And so you can end up with something that is a more consistent, more steady outcome, even if it's not massively exciting, you know. So in which case, potentially for investors who can take a little bit of risk, it's an alternative to, you know, cash returns or low yielding bond returns, for example, but isn't as racy as, you know, going all the way into the equity market.
Every single textbook regarding investments says if you have a long-term view, invest in equities. It has outperformed all other asset classes for decades, and it should for decades to come. So how should an investor weigh up the option to be more conservative and invest in a multi-asset product like this, or to actually try and, you know, sit out the volatility and just look at the potential of equities, which has been proven over many, many years?
So I think that's a very good question. I think you need to think about it in sort of probably two ways. One is in terms of prospective returns over the long run, and the other is in terms of time horizon. And so in terms of prospective returns over the long run, one of the challenges for equity markets, I think, is, you know, they are already pricing in potentially quite a lot of recovery and sort of good news post COVID. And so if you just look at the earnings yield, for example, on equity, so that's the sort of prospective cash flows divided by the price, those kind of yields are also pretty low. So, and historically, they would suggest that your return on a 10 or 20 year horizon, which is probably the longest most people are going to be thinking about, may not be that great. You know, just as after the sort of dot-com bubble in 2000, you had relatively elevated equity valuations. And, you know, it took a long time just to get back to your starting point. And, you know, if you look at more extreme examples, you know, after the bubble in Japan in the late 80s, you know, Japanese equities have never got back to, you know, where they were trading back then. And we're what, you know, 30 years further down the line. So yes, in the very long term, but there may be periods where, you know, if equities are overpriced and you know, there's downside risk, that you may have to have a very long time horizon, I think, for that to work. We're not saying that that's necessarily the case. I just think, you know, it's not for everybody, I think, just to go and stick money in equities, regardless of how they're valued and what their time horizon is. And on the time horizon point, clearly there are some people who are much closer to needing to spend their savings. They've accumulated capital over their life. They're in retirement and they need a bit more certainty because they don't have the years left if there is a big market event or a big market drawdown to rebuild their capital again. So, you know, they're looking for a steadier outcome. And that's the kind of strategy that the team I'm with is looking to deliver.
What is the risk profile of such a multi-asset income product?
So we're doing, so the key driver of the portfolio is we're looking to find individual securities that pay a reasonable yield, but not necessarily a very high yield, because often the highest yielding stuff is the riskiest, but where that income is underpinned by real cash flows coming from, you know, the underlying assets business. So you've got a reliable income stream that's doing the heavy lifting. And most assets, income is the long-term key driver of returns, much more so than capital growth. Even in the case of equities, income dominates returns over the long term. So finding reliable income payers within bonds, within equities, within, you know, listed properties is the starting point. But then it's about putting them together in a way where you have a reasonable level of diversification. You don't have everything likely to go up and down together. And you're focused on ultimately a sort of risk objective as well as a return objective. So we're trying to deliver moderate return, but importantly, with somewhere between zero and half the volatility of the equity market. So typically, perhaps about a third of equity market risk, which we call typically bond-like. We think that's, you know, it's giving you a risk profile that's similar to fixed income, but hopefully because it's plowing or looking in a much wider universe can do that more consistently than yield bonds can now, partly because bond yields are so low on the whole. So it's looking wherever we can to find that combination of reliable income, but also then to put that together into a relatively defensive portfolio and deliver ideally moderate return with low risk.
John, thank you so much for your time today. That was John Stopford. He's head of Global Multi-Asset Income at 91.